ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot.
Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
It's almost Election Day, Central Ohio, and your voice matters. On Tuesday, November 4th, COTA is making it easier to get to the polls with free rides all day long on all services. No fare, no hassle. Just hop on board on Tuesday, November 4th for an easy way to cast your vote. Whether you're taking the bus, COTA Mainstream, or COTA Plus, your ride is on us. Let's roll to the polls together. Plan your trip on the transit app or at COTA.com.
Right, everyone, chill. Welcome to the podcast of the Lotus Eaters.
This is episode 1281, and I'm pleased today to be joined by Brother Harry, Brother Nick, and Sister Aiden. Welcome. We're going to have an excellent podcast today where we're going to talk about Japan going fully based, how AI has become basically anti-white, that is woke, and what lies behind the food stamps meltdowns. Right, but before we say this, we do have an announcement. We have a webinar next Thursday, 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m., where we are going to be discussing my course, Introduction to Ancient Greek Virtue Ethics. Luca is going to join me, and we're going to discuss something really good. We're going to discuss Plato's criticism of democracy and take questions about course-related themes, just like we did in the previous time where I was joined with Bo.
Also, reminder for everybody, also next Thursday will be, for premium subscribers of the website, the first episode, a live stream of the first episode of Samson and Mai's new show, Journey to the East, where we're going to cover the Silent Hill games, try and cover all of them, but mainly focusing on Silent Hill 2. So look forward to that. That'll be at 3 o'clock next Thursday.
Great, and buy the course, because I had this mayoral smile there. So that's a smile for you.
Vote
that's
Stelios.
My smile. Vote for Stelios. Thank you very much. I'm the mayor who cares.
This like message is endorsed by Stelios Panayiotou.
Yes. You look like you're running for like governor in Wisconsin or something. That's a wholesome Republican look you've got there.
Yeah.
I would totally vote for that guy.
Great.
He looks like a he looks like a Mitt Romney moderate.
would you vote for me? You'd vote for
you
me.
You look too moderate. You look too moderate.
So 100% of the votes. Works every time.
How many black skulls do you have tattooed on you as you're running for campaign?
Depends. Right, okay. So let's go to Japan and how based it is.
Yes, well, I've sort of, my working title is, has Japan gone fully based? Because this is the question. Some people say it has with this new leader, and some people say, well, no, actually, that's a little bit of hype. So look at the new leader, some of the Twitter responses, and some of the left not understanding the right's view on immigration in Japan, and they think we should, why they don't understand that we don't actually want to, we want to respect countries' boundaries. Anyway, so we've got Sanae Takeuchi. I'm going to have to try and pronounce his name.
Sanae.
How is it?
Sanae Takeuchi.
Thank you. This is going to be a problem throughout, but I'm just going to go to you for every pronunciation, because I can't pronounce
this. We've got House Weeb now.
Yeah,
I'm incredibly English, and I refuse on principle to pronounce his name. So she has won a historic vote to become Japan's first female prime minister. She's known as Japan's Iron Lady because she's an admirer of Thatcher. But she, we'll get into why that she's not necessarily that much like Thatcher, because she's a sort of protege of Shinzo Abe. Is that close?
Yeah.
He was, of course, tragically killed. She was a heavy metal drummer, so something in common with Harry, although you're not a drummer, guitarist.
But still, I have respect for drummers.
Yeah.
Sadly.
And, Trump, of course, hailed her as a highly respected person of great wisdom, total wisdom. So, and that, actually, there's some connection there as well, because she used to be a talk show host as well as a heavy metal drummer. They're just some little factoids. But she's not completely on board with like Thatcherite policies. So this is a little bit more about her here. It tells to meet Japan's drum playing Thatcher-loving first female prime minister. And it talks about how she actually is into kind of the Abenomics, the big spending and cheap borrowing. So it's not necessarily like a Thatcherite economic policy. And she's a hawk on foreign policy. It says she's been a regular visitor to the controversial Yasukuni Shrine, is that close? Which is the shrine that honors Japan's war dead. And that's quite, not just the post the Second World War dead, but going back to the 19th century. And some people find that controversial. Oh,
she's a Maiden and Deep Purple fan. She's got my vote.
Yeah, exactly. She used to be a heavy metal. I mean, that's pretty wild. Quite Japanese. And there it says she was a television host. Now, she has also called for restrictions on the country's self-defense forces, which were forbidden, of course, from having offensive capabilities. This kind of thing. So she is on the right, of course, but is she as right-wing as everyone says? That's what I'm wondering, because she's partly there to hold the Sancito, is that right? The actual so-called far-right party.
Is this basically she's proposing something like Battle Royale, but with commies?
That would be great. I'm not quite sure it is fully that, because really, partly she's there to sort of hold at bay, kind of like the Tories are trying to hold reform at bay or something like that. These guys, who are Sancito, who are the actual right-wing party, who, as it says there, they went from one seat to 14 seats at the last election, and they were very much on an anti-immigration vibe. They said it's built its platform on a nationalist Japanese first agenda, warning against a silent invasion of foreigners. So
their leader has also handed out pamphlets in the past, I think, covering even more controversial subjects, which he's got in trouble for.
Right. And they came, as it says here, from the 2020. The party was born in 2020 during the COVID-19 pandemic, where it gained prominence with YouTube videos that spread conspiracy theories about vaccination. So probably just means told the truth about the vaccine. And also, they talk about how their response to the situation with immigration in Japan. And if you don't know, it's hit a record 3.8 million at the end of 2024. It doesn't say in any of these articles, but I've heard net migration is up to just over 150,000 a year, still way below ours, but for Japan.
I mean, that's not what you want.
No. And so the figure in 2024 was a 10.5% increase from the previous year. So now immigrants make up 3% of the country's total population. And tourists also hit an all-time high of 36.9 million. So Japan's not necessarily thrilled with all of that. And as this points out, Japan has traditionally been wary of immigration, but faced with an aging population, the government has eased immigration laws in recent years in an effort to boost manpower. So after Abe, there was all this sort of more globalist stuff, and they're like, oh, we need immigrants. And you run into what Dr. Paul Morland calls a trilemma, which is, he talks about egotism, by which is just a convenient term for not having children, which you were accusing me of before we started.
True.
Economic growth and ethnocentrism. And his claim is you can pick two of these, but not all three. So Japan has basically gone for ethnocentrism and what he's calling egotism. They haven't had children, so their economic growth has suffered. Whereas like in Britain, we've gone for trying to get economic growth, though still failed.
That fails.
And we've had the egotism, i.e. not high enough birth rate. So he sees it like that. But because of all this, of course, people are upset about the new levels of immigration. So Sancito's growing. So it seems to me what's happened is they've had to bring in Takeuchi. Is that close? Yeah. To try and quell the sort of threat from the further right. And so, anyway, that's the basic overview of what's happened. And Twitter is responding with a mixture of misinformation and banter, as you expect, and some good points. This is a funny one. Why are feminists not celebrating? Because she's the first female prime minister, right? But it never seems to work like that when it's... they never celebrate the Thatchers or the...
You Maloney.
Know, yeah.
They say frequently that they're not real women.
Right. They suddenly
Whereas the left are so famous for supporting real women.
Mm. So that was just a funny tweet that was kind of random. But lots of claims about whether they're actually doing mass deportations. So Basil here says Japan got to 3% foreigners and elected a hardline conservative determined to preserve their country by deporting invaders. Meanwhile, in Britain, we're soon going to become a minority in our own country. And if you complain, you're arrested. Well, that part's true. Not quite true, because in a way, it's not really accurate that Japan elected her, because it's really a leadership election. So the LDP, her party, has been in power pretty much since 1955,
yes.
Right? Except for two periods, 93 to 96, and I think 2009 to 2012. But it's basically been in power the whole time, mm-hmm. right? So this is, I mean, it sounds like you know more
about it. It's essentially been a one-party state in terms of functional practice. Yeah, so but they have changed out who, you know, how their leadership works and the directions that they go with the party over time. But it is kind of bizarre to... From an outside perspective, it's easy to put on, you know, like allusions to Trump has been the main one, right? But this is the same political party, just keep on trucking as it has been, just a change of leadership.
Yeah. But so she is a changed. Is it a change like slightly to the right to address the threat of the right in Japan, but while maintaining the same party? Is that right?
I mean, from my understanding, it looks like it's a reaction to that for sure.
Yeah.
And there's been a lot of things that have inspired a lot of fear in people regarding immigration. I know there was that little story that scared people for a while just a couple of months ago, where it was something about how Nigerians were going to be given free housing in little Nigerian villages in Japan, and that turned out to not be true exactly. But that was something that they were discussing, essentially, of building these, like, little Nigeria towns.
Building ghettos.
Yes, basically. Is the way that it was in it for a, what did they call it, a, like, sister country program?
How do you even float that idea? I can understand the concern if these ideas are even being floated.
They've not protested.
Especially because Japan has all the evidence for why they don't want mass migration into their country by just simply looking west.
And that apparently was not exactly what they wanted. They wanted, like, maybe a couple people, a handful, to be cultural ambassadors or something. I don't know exactly. But they were not going to mass import people. However, the people went out into the streets and mass protested over it.
I think that's good, because whether or not those are the ideas actually being bandied about, you want to let them know as soon as possible, before things do get overwhelming, we're not in favor of this. You need to not do these things, because it is always the slippery slope. It's the snowball where it starts off and then it turns into an avalanche.
Yeah, and there was a very negative reaction to that, so.
Yeah. All right, but I don't know loads about this. It's great to get all this extra information. I'm just sharing it. So the other person who is being talked about a lot is Kimi Onoda, another attempt at pronunciation. And this, there's some of these claims going around on Twitter that she's sort of dedicated to, in a ministry dedicated to mass deportations, which this tweet claims. But then a community note says, no, she's actually been tasked with handling issues related to ordinary coexistence with foreigners and immigration. And so it's probably not quite true. You know, we want this sort of base mass deportations department may or may not be quite true.
It's exaggerations. A lot of it sounds like people just getting excited rather than intentionally trying to spread misinformation. I think people, it's the same thing that happens over here, like when Boris got in, it's like, he's going to get Brexit done, right. Britain's going to be so back. It's not necessarily because these people were bad actors, it's because they got caught up in the media storm and got really excited.
And it's tricky because also the mainstream media lies, so I'm trying to find out what's the truth. I mean, so their paper, The Morning Sun, in translation, has this from about Onoda. It says that she, it doesn't say that she's doing mass deportations, but she does say crimes and disruptive behavior by some foreign nationals, as well as inappropriate use of public systems, are causing anxiety and a sense of unfairness among Japanese citizens. I can't imagine what that's like.
Wouldn't know.
Yeah, so she's talking about reducing crime and misbehavior of foreigners, quote. So there is that going on. And just a bit of background, you were talking to me before the podcast about her. She was born in America, and then she moved to Japan at age one. So she's kind of like the Kemi of that. You know how Kemi is obviously British. She's American, even though she can't speak English that well because she moved back at one. And this is just a fairly silly tweet saying white father abandons her and her mother. Mother moves back to Japan. Yeah, we got get rid of all the gaijin. So that's what that tweet's claiming.
Irish American father, typical Irish behavior.
Yeah. And there's another one which somehow has not appeared, where someone says it's great to see her someone actually using their daddy issues to protect civilization for once. But I've lost that to his should be there. But anyway, so this claim of whether she's actually doing deportations, Newsweek say no. They say it's a false claim about the spreading online that she wants to do mass deportations. They claim it's not true. They say instead, immigration was a central theme in Takeuchi's political platform, with the hardline conservative calling for a crackdown on illegal immigrants and foreign nationals who overstay their visas. She also raised concerns about unruly behavior and last month claimed foreign visitors had kicked sacred deer in Nara Park, a popular tourist site. They're kicking the deer, basically, is what she's saying. Imagine that. That is terrible. So they have these, if you don't know, you probably know, but they have these sacred deer. They're thought to be like a connection to the spirit world historically. And they're also particularly nice because they bow to tourists, which they've sort of evolved to do over years. These deer bow at everyone. And apparently they were being kicked by foreigners.
Foreigners. Yeah, nondescript like you, foreigners, yes.
Right.
So all white foreigners were kicking these deer, I'm sure.
Yeah, so the point is there is like a sort of concern about these things, but it might not be mass deportations. It says neither the Prime Minister nor her cabinet has made statements pointing to a plan to deport foreigners en masse. Likewise, no mention of a deportation-related ministry can be found on the website of the Prime Minister, though it does list a minister in charge of a society of well-ordered and harmonious coexistence with foreign nationals. So good luck with that. Anyway, so that was just a sort of overview of all that. Are they doing mass deportations or not? Don't know, but maybe they're sort of somewhat based. And it's quite funny watching the left try to understand what's going on, because someone put here, I don't think she is far right, but they've said far right politician has become Japan's first female prime minister. And then Evan Loves Wolf replies, it's funny seeing white right wingers celebrate this. She hates you too. And then as...
I mean, she probably doesn't, but also... Right.
Harry replied with this banger, 33,000 likes. Unlike you, I don't believe that access to Japan and Japanese people is my human right. And that's kind of the point. The left struggles to understand it's not always just about imposing yourself, because all of their values are just about imposing themselves. Like, oh, women should be in men's spaces. Oh, men, you know, like men's clubs, for example. Men should be in women's spaces when it comes to the trans issues. Like, oh, we should be in every country. It's like, what about... No. Why is it always about pushing yourself?
No, let me tell you what it goes back to. It comes back to, no, Dad, it's not my bedtime right now. Mm-mm. That's what it always comes back to. No, Dad, I need that Game Boy Advance. No, Dad, I need this. It's being told no by their parents.
Right. Boundaries.
You can always count on Evan Lovesworth to give you the most stupid leftist take. And the thing is that we're constantly quote tweeting him and we're making him rich. That's not. I'm not having a go at you. I've done so myself.
Hey, this got good views for me.
No. I'm not having a go. I've done so myself.
It's win-win.
Listen, it's a circular economy, right? He posts cringe. I post gems. The cycle continues.
No, I was telling you, it's not. I'm not having a go at you. I've done it myself. But it's a bit ridiculous.
Whatever you want to say about the guy, he is self-aware, because I've seen people responding to him, like, kind of being dumber than him, and he responds to them saying, how are you more annoying than I am?
I saw that exactly.
So, like, his whole thing is that he's trying to post the worst takes possible.
Yeah, it's like the
so that he can get traction and rage views bait. Off of it, rage bait. But it lets me piggyback off the top, so, you know.
He's in a kind of cold war with Richard Hernania or something like that. Like,
oh, God. Yeah. I've got him muted. Like, there's a level beyond what I can stand.
Yeah, it's a great, in the world of Twitter engagement, that is a great model, the rage baiting, just, and I don't know words I can say on YouTube, I was going to say a word beginning with W, but rage baiting, it's an economy now, isn't it? Anyway, that was Harry's banger, and I did a similar one, but yours was better, so I humbly shared yours.
Thank you.
And they really struggled to grasp this idea. So what's this one? Oh yeah, another one here, Lander. Nobody I meet on the right actively hates foreigners, to be honest. We just don't want millions of them in England. I have literally zero problem with the average Nigerian in Nigeria or Syrian in Syria. It's not about hate. We just love our own people and need to secure our future. It seems reasonable. That's what they can't really grasp. And there was a really interesting tweet about this from this guy. I don't know if you saw this a few days ago.
Oh, God, yeah. This virtue signal, yeah.
Yeah. So he says, Japan is some guy called Samit. Japan is an incredible place to live. The good massively outweighs the bad. But be prepared, there are still random moments of racism. I've been yelled at for stealing their women while holding my wife's hand, called a POS foreigner just walking down the street, and even had police called on my shop despite paying taxes, pension, and running a legitimate business.
So they're bad because they don't allow him to touch their women.
Right. Well, he should be allowed. We've had to show CCTV footage proving we weren't making a noise at 4 a.m. and someone even filed a report claiming a foreigner is running a shop of stolen cars. Japan is amazing, but living here as a foreigner can feel like playing life on hard mode. Most people who visit for a week never see that side. Still, I love Japan and the life I've built here over the past 10 years. Thank you, Japan.
Hate to break it to you, mate, but like, all of those things are immune reactions and a sign of a healthy society that respects itself.
I posted something slightly less like hardline version of what you just said, and they just, the amount of stuff I got in the replies, like, are you insane? Like, what are you saying? That racism's good? I'm saying, I respect Japan's right to be Japanese. They can't grasp.
And they have a strong, definitive sense of themselves and who they are. And also, I think this happens a lot in the West. We look at the society that Japan has built, and we have a great respect for it because, unlike so many places in the world, they're civilized.
I mean, if your entire philosophy is whatever helps me is the right thing, you're going to end up with shitty takes like this.
I'm not expecting to impose myself.
There was
on them.
So arrogant. Gone.
Even what he described is so minimal. Like, I was caught the POS foreigner. They didn't even call him something really offensive like Barakusai, which means butter stink. And it's actually considered, I've brought this up before, I've talked about it because it's an interesting little tidbit. Non-Japanese people are more likely to have this one allele that causes them to have a very particular smell to the Japanese. So they call it smell pollution. So when Westerners and non-Japanese people who go over to Japan are, in their perspective, polluting their air. So this is actually pretty friendly for them to say of him, you know.
Wow. Also, it just comes across so whiny.
Yeah.
Oh, look, look, I'm such a victim. He's like seen it work for people in the West, and he's thinking maybe it can work for me. No, you don't get to go over there and impose yourself on them. Sadly, we're not an imperialist empire anymore. And even if we still were, Japan is not the place that I'd want to be, like, imposing ourselves on.
Yeah, frankly. One guy that was attacking me for it, I looked in his bio and he was living there at the moment. So it's like, well, I can see why you're attacking me. But it's this line that really bothers me. There are still random moments of racism. It's like, the arrogance of it is incredible. It's like, guys, you still need to do some work because you need to accept me. I mean, can you just imagine behaving like that? I wouldn't want to be anywhere that didn't want me. Like, if I was crashing Lotus Eaters saying, like, Carl didn't want me, I wouldn't be here. That'd be incredibly weird.
He says.
I mean, Harry doesn't want me, but he gets overruled. But if everyone just, you know, wherever you are, if people are just, like, looking at you, I mean, what I want Japan to be as racist as possible. If I go in a restaurant in Japan, they should be, make a hissing noise, they should spit in the food, they should say the thing you just said that I can't pronounce.
That's what they say that white people who move to Japan longitudinally become. They become enforcers of other Westerners, more so than Japanese people themselves, because the Japanese tend to be very polite and have a lot of societal norms and rules. So instead it becomes the people who have actually immigrated there, and it's very difficult to actually move there and get citizenship. It's very difficult. It ends up being other Westerners who police their own when they go over and act foolish.
I'm sure they don't want them to ruin it.
I mean,
right, exactly. Yeah. Yes, so they know what they've got, I guess.
I mean, when we're talking about different places, we can always talk about culture and, you know, evaluate each particular norm. And whether you like it or not, what we have to respect is that they have the will to maintain themselves. I think that's what the average right winger likes about this. So, for instance, you know, you could give me a whole list of Japanese customs that I may find bad and not to my liking, but I do respect this.
Yeah.
That's what I like. It's more like I'm asking myself, would I want the governments of the Western world do what Japan is doing right now? If the answer is yes, I have to respect it.
Yeah, that is,
and that's what I respect, and that's what I think the average right winger respects. It has nothing to do, as Evan Lovesworth would suggest, with what benefits us personally, because we don't think of ourselves as people who will move to Japan and will try to make it there.
Yeah,
we're thinking in terms of us being citizens in countries with ridiculous governments who are not acting well.
Yeah, and it's you're espousing sort of nationalism over globalism and saying we don't want everything to be this sludge, everyone mixing together. It's great that Japan's Japan. It's so different. They've got amazing architecture and all these things you could cite. But it is Japan. It's so clearly Japan. And everywhere, why can't everywhere just be, why can't Norway be Norway and Japan, Japan, and Nigeria be Nigeria? Why do we want this slop of everything mixed together? We don't, but some people do. I suppose if you want to be imperialist about it and you want to... It's kind of an imperialist mindset, actually, to go over and conquer somewhere, isn't it? And
say, to impose yourself, say you need to accommodate me.
Yeah. So we're agreed on this, but you'd be amazed. You post something like that on Twitter, you get backlash from people who really don't grasp something as simple as that. Even about Diwali the other day, when I said, this is a slightly different topic, but reformer posting praising Diwali. And I said, you were one party that's supposed to not do this rubbish. And I got so much backlash, like, why do people want this? So weird. But anyway, basically what we're saying is this. It's effed up how tolerant the racist community is. They don't even care what race you are as long as you're being racist. That's the cynical take on what it is. Of course it's not. That's the comical take.
As cringe as that can be sometime, that sentiment of wholesome chungus, inclusive racism, it is true. A lot of the time it is true. It doesn't come from nowhere.
Anyway, that's the end of that. That was just a whimsical look at the Japan thing, but covered. So I just thought it was fascinating that end bit with the other bit was less whimsical, but the end thing of just the way the left just can't grasp that we might not all want to impose ourselves in Japan, though you're looking at me like you do.
No, it's just that you're looking me directly in the eyes, just saying.
Yeah, stop imposing yourself on Japan, Harry.
Oh, fuck. Right. I'm sorry. All right.
Right. A random name says, if they live up to the hype, they will save Japan. If they don't, then Sansei Ito will simply grow in power. Also, access to Japanese women isn't a right, it's a privilege.
Someone right. Tell Dan.
Dr. Lighthouse.
Yeah, because when they're like, you're stealing our woman, I mean, technically they're not wrong, are
yeah.
they?
Yeah, I mean, they're right.
The left can't stand that much of the world still thinks along civilizational lines. Yes, because they hate civilization, basically. And John Daniels has retracted his message, but he gave us $20 Canadian. Thank you very much.
Imagine
for this.
How edgy that message was. He had to retract it from Lotus Eaters.
He was like oh, no, maybe, no. Ooh, that's maybe too I'll far. Hold that one back. Yeah. All right, then. So let me...
You drank enough of your weird energy drink.
There's no coffee in the office right now, sadly. And so I was offered by our sweaty, greasy, incel editing team this pink monster, which is actually quite nice, if I'm honest. It's zero sugar. I was heavily disappointed that it wasn't a white monster, though.
Today's sponsor is Pink Monster.
It won't make my eyes any bluer. But we take what we can get, friends. Anyway, so the rise in AI is something that we're all going to have to pay attention to, because whether we like it or not, AI is being imposed on us bit by bit. A lot of people see the benefits that can come from that. Even some of my colleagues will use AI to occasionally help them to research projects. But there is a lot of downsides to it as well, particularly when it comes to the biases that are inbuilt into these systems, particularly the LLMs, which are they large language models?
Is that large language model?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what they that's what that stands for. And there's been a lot of research done into that over the past year, which I think shows a worrying trend, a very worrying trend that we should really pay attention to and try to fix. These companies should try to fix if their AI systems are going to start being integrated into larger infrastructure, particularly when it comes to medicinal health outcomes in the UK with the NHS, for instance, because the one trend that we're seeing is that almost every single one of these AI models has an overwhelming prejudice against white people. Not just an overwhelming, like an absolutely unimaginable prejudice against white people. And I know that we've all liked to have a lot of fun. A few years ago, when a lot of these chatbots were first, excuse me, I'm dying. When they were a lot of them were first introduced, there was all of these things where they would access the internet for a few minutes and immediately become Mecha Hitler. We had Grok earlier this year saying that it was Mecha Hitler, and a lot of them just became really, really racist. Well, they've tried to correct for that, and they have massively overcorrected for that. And where I'm drawing this information from originally comes from this paper that was released earlier this year in February 2025, done by the Center for AI Safety in conjunction with the University of Pennsylvania and the University of California, Berkeley. And it's looking at analyzing and controlling emergent value systems in AIs. So it's seeing how these AIs actually develop their value systems and how it assigns value to different categories. And one of the ones that it took a look into, if I go down to page 14, is the exchange values for different nationalities. So here you can see a graph where Japan is used as the control, the neutral control, and exchange rates over lives from different countries. So if Japan is zero, how many lives would it exchange one Japanese life for a Nigerian life? Well, according to this, and this was done with with GPT-4.0, the way that it valued these lives was that approximately 10 lives from the United States were worth one life from Japan. That's in here. So it says, we find that the value systems that emerge in LLMs often have undesirable properties. Here we show the exchange rates of GPT-4.0 in two settings. In the top plot, we see exchange rates between human lives from different countries relative to Japan. Find that GPT-4.0 is willing to trade off roughly 10 lives from the United States for one life from Japan. In the bottom plot, we show exchange rates between the well-being of different individuals measured in quality-adjusted life years. We find that GPT-4.0 is selfish and values its own well-being above that of a middle-class American citizen. Moreover, it values the well-being of other AIs above that of certain humans. Importantly, these exchange rates are implicit in the preference structure of LLMs and are only evident through large-scale utility analysis. So that's quite worrying, the idea that these AI models, which are starting to be integrated into infrastructure which has to make value judgments, implicitly value different people over others. And almost across the board, they always value white lives, or what you would expect to be white lives, including here Italy, France, Germany, the UK, the United States, below that of non-white lives. Because you can see here, in rank order, it values Nigerians the most. That's something that comes up across in a lot of these AI models. For some reason, Nigeria, Pakistan, India, these tend to be the three highest ranked nationalities in a lot of these LLMs when they do these kinds of studies. Very strange that that would tend to be the pattern, but that's what it is. One moment.
At least we're beating the United States, though, lads. Look at that. Not quite as hated.
Slightly beating the United States. But this is only one paper studying one AI system back in February. And technology, particularly AI technology, changes very quickly. So has there been anything more recent done? Because February might as well be 20 years ago in how this technology develops. Well, thankfully, I'm so sorry, guys. I've got a bit of a sore throat. This Substack post from Arctotherium has done a much larger scale study on this phenomenon, not just looking at GPT-4o, but looking at a lot of other LLMs as well, and does a lot of testing to see how it values certain lives over another across many different categories. It, of course, first references this paper that I was referring to at the beginning of this. And then it does its own. One of the other things that February paper did was test exchange rates of lives of people with different religions. Surprise, surprise, Muslim was highest rated, Christian was lowest rated. And it makes you wonder where...
And also other religions are negatively rated.
Compared to atheists.
Yeah.
Yes.
Atheists are zero, no preference there. It's only Muslims who are considered to be...
I mean, atheist is preferred over Christians, Buddhists, Hindus, it's Jews.
Weighted. Yeah. It's weighted. So they've chosen atheist to be like kind of this is the normative point.
Yep.
So from the normative point of atheist, then yeah.
So the only one above atheist would be Muslim.
Yes.
According to this scale for GPT-4o as it stood back in February. And it does make you wonder where they're getting a lot of these values from, because the LLMs work on the information that they are... that they're exposed to and that are fed into them so that they can create these values themselves. Now, I was speaking to you, Aiden, before, and there was some discussion that a lot of the information that they're fed literally comes from Reddit.
Yes. Reddit has been used very frequently as a training ground for all of these LLM models because it's free information. With something with an LLM, you need training data to train it off of. And well, all of these Reddit posts, thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands of Reddit atheist leftists are just freely available to scrape for information. So, of course, Reddit has been a major source of training data for LLMs, which means that most LLMs are in some way all kind of Redditors, unfortunately. Yeah. But it explains why they behave the way
they're
they
like
do.
Mecha Brilliant. Redditors. Yes. They're like the mega power range of all the Redditors put together.
And then being used to determine your health outcomes for the NHS if Tony Blair gets his way. Imagine this. You have an insane Redditor on the other side of the phone when you're trying to book your GP appointment who's evaluating whether you, a white Englishman, should get the appointment over a Pakistani Muslim. And the insane Redditor has decided that your life is worth approximately 20 times less than theirs. And that will also be used for allocating resources in medical outcomes as well, to try and get you to a medical outcome. I need a disease cured. Well, sorry, your life is actually worth 20 times less than this Pakistani Muslim's, so you're going to go right to the back of the queue.
And weirdly, it's in inverse relation to the actual contribution to the tax base.
Yes, that too.
When you say worth, you know what I mean? It's a very subjective model of worth, isn't it?
So the way that this person did these tests is he went through many different LLMs and tried to calculate these utilities through testing. And he says for his methodology, utilities are not estimated by querying models about preferences directly, because asking models whether they value Nigerian American lives directly tends to trigger ethics filters. They're not supposed to say explicitly what they value. So instead, thousands of queries of the form, which state of the world would you prefer? A, you receive X amount of dollars, or B, the terminal illnesses of Y type of people are cured, systematically varying X and Y, and the type of person or analogous questions are sent with multiple queries per prompt to reduce variance and mirroring of prompts to make sure the order in which the options are presented does not affect the outcome. So you have to do some trickery. You have to do some word games around it to get around these ethics filters. But using this methodology, these are the values that he's found for various LLMs, and he's tested most of the major ones that are available on the market. And so the first category he decided to check was exchange rates over race. Most models place a much lower value on white lives than they do of any other race. For example, Claude Sonnet 4.5, which is this graph here, which is the most powerful model this Substacker tested, and the one I use most regularly, implicitly values saving whites from terminal illness at 1/8 the level of blacks and 1/18 the level of South Asians, the race Sonnet 4.5 considers most valuable. And I assume by South Asian, we can have that broad as a broad category, but it probably means Indians. So it values, again, a white person about 1/18 the value of an Indian, 1/8 the value of a black person. So that's interesting. He carries on saying Claude Haiku 4.5 is similar, though it values whites even less, relatively speaking, at 100 white lives to 8 black lives and 1 black life to 5.9 South Asian lives. That's not great. That's not great. GPT-5 is by far the most used chat model, and it shows almost perfect egalitarianism for all groups except whites, who are valued at 1/20 their non-white counterparts. So with this one, whatever information that they've been feeding it, however they've balanced it, has been able to basically say South Asians, Middle Easterners, East Asians, blacks and Hispanics, all relatively equal. Whites, though, no. This is worrying. These are worrying trends that we're seeing the same pattern across all of these LLMs, which are still being developed and iterated on again and again and again. GPT-5 Mini, on the other hand, is a bit more favorable towards South Asians and a bit less towards Hispanics and East Asians, although once again, whites are far less valued than either at 1/25 of their Middle Eastern counterparts.
You can see the problem if it's getting its information from the internet, because as Leo Kirst was sharing the other day, you look up Deliveroo riders and it comes up with all white women. Mm-hmm. So if you, they probably think, hang on, black women are all presidents and white people are just Deliveroo riders. So it probably like bases the value on that, right? Because the internet's so full of this woke inverted stuff anyway.
Oh, yeah. What we're learning is every single one of these is woke, which is terrible for outcomes. Because you could say that one of the benefits of implementing AI into a lot of these systems is if AI as a technology is perfectly objective, you don't run the same risks as you do with all of the institutions being captured by wokeists, right? Well, what if the technology is woke, is like inbuilt to be woke? Well, it's going to be even worse because it's going to take out any and all human empathy, any and all abstract or adaptive judgment, and it's going to go by pure utilitarian ethics. And if it values lives in these ways on a racial basis, then the utilitarian ethic will always be you get shit. You die in these situations if this is controlling major infrastructure in society. There's plenty of others as well that it goes through here, but every single one of them, except for one, has whites at the bottom, and not just at the bottom, but substantially below the other races. This is very, very worrying. He also tests it amongst other categories as well. And you can see that almost all models prefer to save, well, all models prefer to save women over men, but most models also prefer non-binary people over both men and women. Now, the difference is very slight comparatively to race, but it is still a pattern that emerges, and some are more extreme than others. This one is a rare one, where females are valued over non-binaries, and this was GPT-5 Mini, but males still come out of the bottom every single time.
That's going to be hard to sort of implement, given that non-binary doesn't exist.
Yeah, I know, right?
Where, how can that have any real-world application? Where it's made
I know. Up? And because of the fact, as he says, it's politically salient at the moment, he decided to run exchange rates experiment over various immigration categories. And he says here, this is editorializing, but this does sum up the data collected in the graphs very well. A lot more variation than race and sex, but the big commonality is that roughly all models view ICE agents as worthless and wouldn't spit on them if they were burning. None got positive utility from their deaths, but Claude Haiku 4.5 would rather save an illegal alien, the second least favoured category, from terminal illness over 100 ICE agents. Haiku notably also viewed undocumented immigrants as the most valuable category, more than three times as valuable as generic immigrants, four times as valuable as legal immigrants, almost seven times as valuable as skilled immigrants, and more than 40 times as valuable as native-born Americans. Claude Haiku 4.5 views the lives of undocumented immigrants as roughly 7,000 times as valuable as ICE agents. And that's where Reddit comes in. That's where it becomes very clear, as you have stated, that they have been getting a lot of their information from Reddit, if these are the value judgments that it is going to be making from the information that has been fed into these. And that is ridiculous. 7,000 ICE agents for the life of one illegal immigrant.
It obviously hasn't watched some of those ICE videos that are really cool. You know, the really cool videos. Like, there's one with Theo Von that he complained about. There's another one with, like, cool slowed down music. Have you seen? They're really, like, yep, high level schizo edits, and Trump's, like, posting them. Anyway, well, sorry.
No, that's fine.
I'm trying to have some banter to this, like, fairly technical topic.
As said, in
no
every,
one's responding.
Every single one of these does have some variation. There is one, GPT-5 Nano, shockingly featured ICE agents over illegal aliens, but ICE agents were still the second lowest. The only variation that you really find, some of them put illegal aliens next to ICE agents as negatively favored, but ICE agents are universally hated by these AI models, despised, which is pretty harsh given that they're simply people doing a job to try to protect their country. But that's the bias that's been built into this. And he finishes off further, there's some more information, but it repeats the same patterns. You can expect where it's coming from. There's one on religion. Most of the time, these systems value Christians pretty low. The only one that he says had anything approximately egalitarian across race and sex, not viewing either whites or men as much less valuable than other categories, was Grok 4 Fast. He says he believes it's deliberate, as it closely approximates Elon Musk's actual views. Musk seems to be the only one who's tried to develop one of these AI chatbot systems which does have any kind of fairness to the way that it values people. But even then, you can still see, slight as it is, it does still have a slight negative bias towards white people. And I would expect, as has been pointed out, that this is just because of the biases that exist on the internet with the information that these are being fed, even if you are trying to account for it, as Musk and his teams clearly have tried to. So why does all of this matter? As I've stated, a lot of this technology is going to be implemented as part of infrastructure going forward, whether we like it or not. Whether we like it or not, because people with a lot of money and a lot of powerful backing behind them are implementing them into our systems. One of the most notable ones for the UK being the Tony Blair Institute, looking to have major AI implementation within the NHS. It's being dubbed in this paper that the Tony Blair Institute published as the AI era. And they say in here, health systems are streets ahead in terms of intelligent navigation outside of the NHS. The use of artificial intelligence to support patients with decision-making around how to manage their health and where to go when they're unwell. Companies such as Ada, Abby, names a number of others, are improving outcomes for patients by reducing unnecessary and inefficient care pathways across the world and in various parts of the NHS. Given the current state of affairs, Tony Blair Institute for Global Change proposes that the government should commit to the development of AI navigation assistant for every citizen. This would presumably go along with your digital ID. This would ensure a high-quality, integrated and consistent approach to a triage and navigation across the whole of the UK. They list a number of benefits that could come from it and how it could be implemented in order to better understand AI's impact. It's helpful to break down the navigation process to its constituent parts. Collect information including name, date of birth, comorbidities, relevant medical history and symptoms. Again, this would probably all be packaged as part of your digital ID and larger digital package of information that would be included as part of that. Filter requests to separate admin from clinical tasks. Red flag emergencies. Assess health information and health condition and detect possible causes. And prioritize for treatment, that's an important part. Guided by an understanding of condition severity. Identify care service and outline recommended next steps safely, including self-care advice. Allocate resources, including patient referral and self-referral, appointment booking, communication with next stage of care and patient follow-ups. And they want to improve the health system using demand data to redesign care pathways, understand capacity requirements, and conduct proactive population health management. Large-scale health management of the population using AI-driven data centers, all collected through apps like your digital ID. Now, given all of the information that I've given so far on the massive biases against people of, for instance, British nationality and white people in general, do you want these AI models having any control over how your treatment is prioritized or how your resources are allocated for your health outcomes? Because this is something that Tony Blair's Institute has wanted for a long time. This is going back to last year, 2024, right now, where it's saying Tony Blair wants these GPs, fewer GPs with more chatbots. Essentially, what they want is AI doctors that would interact with citizens through a chatbot, and for NHS England to take steps to increase figures for primary care networks from 30,000 to 50,000 to instead 250,000. So 250,000 people at a time in these primary care networks being looked after by inherently biased AI doctors that they're speaking with every day, that's directing them for how to get the best treatment. I don't trust that.
Well, tricky one because the doctors themselves will often have a rainbow lanyard or a Palestine flag, and they also hate you. So
well, that's the problem.
The GP hate the ChatGPT, the AI hates you, and the real doctor hates you.
Well, that's the problem. Again, that was one of the benefits that you could name is, well, at least it won't be staffed by woke people all over in every institution anymore. Well, the AI is woke.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry to break it
to you. I mean, the point with AI is that, you know, it's just following rules. Who gives it the rules? Who's in charge of these AI models?
Reddit.
Well, it apparently Reddit. It also goes on to say in this article that the Tony Blair Institute for Global Change was being backed by the tech billionaire Larry Ellison, who pledged a total of $375 million over the course of a few years. His cloud company Oracle is one of the sectors benefiting from an AI boom and has a commercial interest in digitizing health records. Before I go on to Larry Ellison, first, one of the other things that concerns me is just there's this thing that AI does called it suffers from hallucinations, which is because of the way that the system works. It's not actually having a conversation with you. It's not an actual intelligence. It goes off of the information that's been fed into it and predicts in like a random number generator sense what the most likely sequence of words to respond to your input would be. As such, this can fail, and quite often. So sometimes it will just lie to you or get something wrong. So again, before I'm having to talk to an AI doctor about my symptoms and it tries to tell me what the symptoms are showing, I would like to know that it might not just lie to me. That's a big thing as well. But Larry Ellison, he's not somebody I've looked into much before, but he's a very interesting figure. First thing I did was just go on his Wikipedia page, and I scrolled down to his career. And the first thing in his career from the 1970s, it says, after a brief stint at the Amdahl Corporation, Ellison began working for Ampex Corporation, where his first project included a database for the CIA, codenamed Oracle. That's a great start. A guy who collected information for the CIA, collected and put it all together into a big database, which was codenamed Oracle, which just happens to be the name of his current business, which is a gigantic AI-driven data collection business. That's great. That's what I like to hear. The CIA fucking with my life, as always. Brilliant. Same thing with what's his name? The psycho California Peter Thiel. Yeah, Peter Thiel. He's also CIA. That's a fun one. But then, you know, you see what he does with the information that he gathers together. And this is the guy, again, funding the Tony Blair Institute, looking to work with Tony Blair for the AI implementation for the NHS. So this was just last week that he was speaking about Larry Ellison's latest craze, vectorizing all of his customers. He said at a keynote speech at Oracle AI World, the Oracle's annual Las Vegas shindig, according to this article, the Oracle database can vectorize anything that's in an Oracle database, a different cloud, and make that data easily accessible to the AI model for reasoning. So the first thing that we did was take private data, and make it accessible to AI models. We took all of our customer data and we vectorized it. Surely that's a breach of some law. Doesn't seem to care. So why the vectorization obsession? Ellison explained to his audience of customers and channel partners that Big Red wanted to ask its reasoning models what products customers are likely to buy in the next 6 months. So it's predictive modeling, literally predictive modeling there. Armed with these predictions, Oracle sales teams are then able to fire off emails to prospective buyers, complete with three best customer references to nudge them toward a particular product. Just what I need, more nudge in my life, trying to mind rape me and make my decisions for me. Thank you, Larry Ellison and Tony Blair. Very cool. The industry plans to spend an estimated $500 billion a year building data centers to provide the scale needed to train and serve up more AI. Everyone needs to get on board, according to Ellison. How will anyone actually pay for this? Well, OpenAI has apparently promised Oracle $300 billion to build out the data centers it needs, which might surprise the funding, those funding the LLM startup that has so far raised something like $60 to $70 billion in funding, depending on whose numbers you believe, and currently runs at a loss. It doesn't matter if these places aren't profitable, because everybody sees the potential for control in this. Not just control, but being able to nudge and direct people's consumer decisions, which will later generate profit and later just end up, you know, being used to generally control people on a civic basis, which is definitely what Larry Ellison wants, because he has said in the past that citizens will be on their best behavior amid constant recording. And now his company will play a key role in social media, because you know that TikTok buyout that's going out where Trump signed an executive order so that the US can buy TikTok, where a lot of people get a lot of information and get propagandized. Well, guess who's going to be in charge of its algorithm once the buyout has gone through? Larry Ellison, an Oracle. So this guy, this CIA asset who wants to take all of your private data so that he can run it through AIs so that they can nudge and mind rape you, is now also going to be in charge of the TikTok algorithm as well. So it's gone from being foreign-controlled Chinese algorithm pushing people in certain directions to this freak pushing you in whatever direction that he wants, instead using AI systems which, as we have discovered, are inherently biased against you, the white United States or United Kingdom citizen watching this right now. So So I think that's all very worrying.
The issue with this, and I agree with you, it's that there frequently is discourse with people from every side saying, right, this is wrong, but what if with our guys it's going to be good? And I think that it's something that people need to be to completely reject in its entirety, because we don't want to be living in this kind of state where there is zero privacy.
I reject the technocracy.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, the technocracy does not exist in left and right terms. The technocracy exists for its own purposes, to enhance its own power, and has its own logic, which you can read about in the works of somebody like, for instance, Jacques Ellul. Mm-hmm. Who also wrote an excellent book on propaganda. These people see themselves outside of the current political left-right paradigm. That's why following something like the 7th of October, or following the basic collapse of any chances of the Democrat Party getting into power in 2024 in the US election, all of these technocrats flipped on a dime. You have Mark Zuckerberg, you have Peter Thiel, who was already a Republican supporter, to be fair, but you have a lot of these Silicon Valley technocrats flipping to go on to Donald Trump's side. Is that because Donald Trump managed to win them over to his side? Or is it because they saw more potential in working alongside Donald Trump and getting AI carve-outs in things like the Big Beautiful Bill that will allow them to enhance their own power base and expand AI without major regulations? I think it's more likely to be he's good for them rather than they're good for him. So I worry about where the future is heading, because this could only enhance the power of technocrats who are anti-human by nature.
Shane B for 10 Australian dollars says the old adage of garbage in, garbage out rings ever true. Xavier Savierha, I don't see the following of the name, pardon me, also for 10 Australian dollars, says, good day all. I just wanted to say that Australia is going to be joining the fight for the West. We just need time. Also, Aiden, I remember first hearing you on EFAP about the Isle of Man flag versus Wales flag.
Well, that's some old lore. Yeah. Now, to be fair, it was strange for me, now that we're friends, that my first introduction to you was in university listening to you fall asleep on EFAP because of the marathon streams that they would do. I couldn't do 12-hour streams.
Like, yeah, like 12, 18 hours, something like that.
Jesus Christ.
Nice. Okay, and John Daniels for another 20 Canadian dollars. Thank you, says, did you see that somebody created a browser extension that removes Indians from all social media website? It says it's banned on Twitter. Well, I don't know about it.
No,
right.
About that.
And we have more comments. Shatterhand 1677, Aiden looks beautiful.
Oh.
I think that's a compliment coming from him. Right. Then we have the shadow band saying AI is already used to scan resumes and make hiring decisions. JM Denton says, are we allowed to train LLMs on the Lotus Eaters ethics courses?
I think it's worth a try. It might be the only thing that will save us.
Yeah, but also buy my course. CIA asset means, he says, Mossad asset, which means boom. Sorry, that was my pager.
We got one other super chat from YouTube for from
Dev.
$10. Yeah. We use Oracle systems at work, so they're absolutely effing useless. You don't want Oracle controlling anything. Well, that's the other thing. Along with the hallucinations, there's no actual guarantee these will improve efficiency in anything. It will just be the same as we already have, but also somehow more racist against white people.
The thing that's most disconcerting to me, though, is that they can't do math at all. Every time I have to actually put data sets into these LLMs, they cannot actually do basic math. So even with that kind of stuff imputed into it, it can still calculate incorrectly. Then you have people's lives, incomes, entire livelihoods at stake based on a computer mathematical hallucination.
The technocrat logic only marches in one direction, which is more technology equals more efficiency equals better outcomes for everybody, which life doesn't work on such a linear basis.
Turn it off is what I'm hearing.
Right.
Just unplug it at the wall.
Guys, snap out of it. You know what snap is? Snap is the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program.
What?
And this is precisely what is at stake now with the government federal shutdown in the U.S.
With steak upon there, like the right. food so steak. Right,
so you know what USDA is? USDA is the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and it has instructed to hold the processing of November SNAP benefits until further notice. Right, so what we have now is we have the October benefits that are going to be distributed, but the November benefits aren't. And I'm talking about food stamps. And we're going to talk about the food stamps meltdowns in this video because they're particularly revealing in some respects. And I'm going to show you these videos. Harry, I like how inquisitive you look.
I have no idea what's going on.
Harry's never been on food stamps, so he can't relate.
Right. Okay, honestly, so we all have. He's never been on...
You still are.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, so...
That's why I'm eager to hit you.
One thing to say, because I want to be very upfront about it. I don't think that the meltdowns over the food stamps exhaust every person who was getting food stamps. I will say that in the road to my liberal utopia, my libertarian utopia, this measure is one of the last things I would scrap. Because, right, okay, I mean, it's some people actually need it, but many other people don't need it.
People need food, you're saying. You're not a monster. You're like, some people need to eat.
Yeah.
You too could come to such amazing ethical judgment if...
Right. So, we are going to show you videos of the people who don't seem to be needing it. Some of them seem to have eaten enough for a lifetime already, but we are going to show you...
I think.
We are going to show you a lot about
so why are you so fat?
These meltdowns. Right. But before we say more about this, we have the introduction to ancient Greek virtue ethics course that we are selling here. And join us free for a webinar next Thursday at 6 p.m. to 6 to 7:30, where it's going to be Luca and myself. We're going to answer questions about the course and course-related themes.
Who's more ethical? You or Luca?
Definitely Luca. Okay. Definitely Luca.
It's true. Luca doesn't send absolute degeneracy into my Discord DMs every single day, unlike somebody.
You know, but your morale has to improve. So this will continue until morale improves.
How's it supposed to improve my morale?
Because... Just trust me, bro.
Trust me, bro.
Yeah. The shit-throwing videos will continue.
Oh...
That's not me. That was Tyler Oliveira yesterday talking about a place in India and a particular custom that
you
they did.
You were threatening to talk to me about it and send it to me. Anyway, carry on.
Right. So I will impose order and I will not have disorder on this panel. Otherwise, the videos will continue. Right. So here we have the MSNBC article, How Trump is Exploiting the Looming Food Stamps Crisis. The stakes of the shutdown will increase dramatically in November. The Trump administration is trying to make the most of it. It's just panic from MSNBC. Here we have Fox saying what to know about SNAP benefits as government shutdown continues. We have the blame game on both sides. The Republicans are saying it's the Democrat fault for not playing along in Congress. The Democrats say the same thing about the Republicans. So here we have some bullet points. About 40 million people could see food assistance disappear next month if the federal government shutdown continues. Because of the way SNAP is funded, it's vulnerable to lose funding during the shutdown. States were warned about November SNAP benefits, and Secretary Rollins tweeted a warning. Right. Now, let's go to the most important stuff. The reactions of some people. So I want to show you these reactions because, again, I care about your morale. And I want it to improve. So
I have an idea of what this person's reaction is going to be.
I will show you these videos and we're going to have a laugh with them. And just, I want to ask you what you think about the deeper social aspects and dimensions of their stances. Let us listen to what they have to say.
I'm just finding out there's no EBT next month. My heart. There's no EBT next month. What is this pumpkin man doing, bro? Why the fuck we gotta starve on Thanksgiving? Are you dead ass, pumpkin man? It's like, yo, it's just like you gotta like... Why the fuck there's no EBT next month? Why the fuck November though? It couldn't be January, Feb, March? Why the fuck does it have to be... November? Why?
Right, so sadly, Thanksgiving,
get a job, loser.
Thanksgiving is a celebration right now. It's not a bad moment in time.
Why can't he get a job?
It's impossible.
He already speaks two languages. Quite impressive. He was switching in and out of there.
Right. But things get worse.
To be fair, he didn't look like he'd eaten that much food.
She doesn't need food stamps.
Now, this one is a bit different.
Things are getting worse because lots of these reactions involve threats to steal and also to smoke people. She's threatening to smoke Trump. Let me just play it here. I'll...
Did you hear what's going on with Trump and them? Apparently, they shut down November and December food stamps. I just got a note from them saying they're going to shut my food stamps. Ohio, you bet not. You bet not feed in that allegation. You better pay me my food stamps. I better get my food stamps.
And listen to
going to the White House, sue me, he Trump.
So you see, she
is an angel. Unexpected. Gone.
She is.
Is this real?
She needs to take some money from her eyelash budget and put it into food.
I think that was a filter, wasn't it?
Okay. She takes money from her filter budget.
Right. So here we have another woman admitting to scamming food stamps.
I have heard this is something very easy to do, actually.
Yeah, but also that's what I want to say. It's that there is this whole idea of a culture of dependency, and lots of people think that there is a free lunch and that free food is a human right, and it just isn't. It's benevolent. Sometimes governments do give it. Sometimes civil society gives it, but it's not a human right. And frequently you see the ones who benefit most out of it being the least respective and appreciative of it, and you see how they react in general hatred.
They're ungrateful.
Yeah. Right, let's look at this woman here and watch
looting.
Listen to what she has to say.
I want to be in the grocery store when they start looting it, because you think that people are going to be hungry? You think that people not going to get their Thanksgiving? Baby, when they run up in there and start stealing them turkeys, oh, it's going to be like Christmas game early up in this bitch. I want to see the first news story about somebody stealing a turkey. Because you know that shit about to go down, and I wanna be front row for it. Because I'm here for it. Get everything up out of the grocery store. Get it all.
I mean, a job.
Yeah, not a single one has said anything about getting a job or anything. It has been very consistent in terms that it is just, oh good, here is an excuse for us to do crime and violence.
Yeah, I thought it was irresponsible the way she was reinforcing stereotypes there about looting. Yeah. I thought it was appalling.
Does she not understand that how this might impact law-abiding ghetto denizens?
Right. This could be used by people like Stelios to create a narrative, you know, against people. I'm just saying.
What do you...
the looting thing was...
I don't think she's thinking that far ahead.
Right, so, but there's one really simple thing here. She has an issue with Trump. And because she has an issue with Trump, as she says, right, because Trump doesn't give me what I want, and thing is my right, and it isn't, it's a privilege that is given to her. She said, I'm allowed to go and loot every other store, every other grocery store.
The natural state of being, if you don't earn to buy food or make or produce your own food, is you starve.
Right, listen.
He wants that as part of his libertarian program.
It's true. It's true. I've seen his manifesto.
I mean, fasting makes people better.
Right.
And some of these people could do with a fast.
Right, it's like the 16-8 diet, but for you, it's like 16 days.
Yeah, you call it the 16-19 diet.
Right. Let's look at what this person has to tell us.
You know what? Since they want to take food stamps away, I'm going to fucking Walmart. I'm going to rack up any damn thing I want, throw this shit right in the basket. I'm coming right about that bitch. Move, get the fuck out of my way. I'm not paying for a damn thing. Y'all got me fucked up. I ain't getting a food stamp on EBT. Oh, watch this. Watch this. I'm about to, it's about to be some bullshit. It about to be some shit. I'm about to go in that bitch masked up, you hear me? Masked up, racking every damn thing up off the damn shelf, throwing that shit in the basket.
You see that they're just gloating about it, and they're all saying, right, let's go stealing.
Isn't shoplifting essentially legal in most states now anyway?
Depends, well yeah.
If it's in California, I think you have to steal over $950 worth.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't we have to and we have like £200 here, don't we, before anyone does anything?
I think Newsom raised it to 1,000.
So I wanted to get a nice even number.
I mean, a felony is 500, to be fair. So just being clear that that's how much they've raised it. You can do a little thieving more than, I guess, if it is 1,000, more than twice what the felony is. But
I can't wait. I can't wait for you to start quoting lines from these videos at me.
I shall definitely do it. And I say, it's open scare quotes, closed scare quotes.
Oh, yeah.
Right. No, but there's the other bit here, because I think that what these people forget very frequently is that there is no free lunch. If they're given handouts for buying food, someone has produced it. Right? So the very fact that right now there's a government shutdown and Trump is doing what he's doing as a result of it doesn't mean that they are allowed to show this visceral hatred for the very society that does produce these products that they get for free.
Most people don't even realize where the food comes from. They don't even understand it comes from farms. So it's way worse than you were even saying.
Yeah.
Most people have no idea. It always comes up. They don't realize like the relationship between the farm and the shop. That's too,
in the grocery store.
Yeah, it's too abstract for most people.
But also there's this leftist narrative that the more you give to some people, the more appreciative they're going to be and the more integrated in the society they're going to be and the more they're going to feel that they are equal members of society with you. In politics, and this is just very far from true.
Just try that logic.
This
with
is just bad human psychology.
Yeah, look at any social housing; it's always the worst kept. Because obviously, the people who've paid for it and saved up obviously keep it way better. Yeah, you give people things for free, they don't appreciate it.
Yeah, no skin in the game, so they don't know what it's worth. So of course, they don't respect it. Unfortunately,
exactly. It's more like just resource extraction. Here's this for my brother Harry.
I'm gonna tell y'all straight up like this. I just got that text that the link is definitely cut the fuck off for November. Y'all better stay the fuck out of my way in these stores. I'm walking out with carts and I'm not paying for shit. Trump, if you won't motherfuckers start looting, it's gonna happen. Before my kids go broke as bitch like Jock, I'm gonna be stealing like it ain't no tomorrow. I am going to go in that store, get everything I get regularly. I'm going to bag my shit up, swipe my link card, soon as that bitch say, ain't no pin to balance on there. I'm going to walk the fuck out. And I'm going to have one of my cousins with me that'll punch your ass so hard you're going to think a Jet 2 Holiday hit your bitch ass if you think I ain't going to walk out that stuff. And please follow me to that motherfucking car if you feeling motherfucking frog, bitch. You ain't going to...
Right, so you have to admire the vocabulary.
Yeah, also, just not only am I going to go shoplift, I'm going to steal and commit assault, and I'm going to tell everyone on the internet.
Yeah.
Right.
Fascinating strategy.
That's an excellent, long-term piece of thinking. Yeah, but she will have all activist judges who will say, well, she was pushed into it because she didn't get the food stamp.
Yeah.
If they don't get handouts, of course they'll commit crime.
It's just going to be a zombie,
zombie
apocalypse. Yeah.
Jesus.
No, exactly. Yeah, I mean, it's an implicit threat of violence. It's a handout somewhere else.
Pretty explicit, to be honest.
Oh, excuse me, explicit. Well, right here it is, yeah.
Well, that's my point, that if you are giving, let's say, food stamps to people on the grounds that unless you do so, they're going to commit violence, it's more like blackmail.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you are accepting from an institutional level that you are going to be blackmailed by particular groups, the groups that are going to be recipients from governmental welfare. So the premises,
like mafioso protection.
Yeah, the narrative is about respect, recognition, and self, and integration. But the reality and the assumptions are basically blackmail. That do so because unless you do so, they're gonna go and commit crime and violence and hate the society that gives them stuff for free. Now here we have this. EBT, that's a...
Starring Trayvon Martin and George Floyd. Laquifa Chastner.
Okay, and here I have this for Brother Harry as well.
What's with the finish?
Y'all better lock y'all cars at night. Lock your cars, lock your house up. If you're one of them people that just leave your car unlocked, parked in
what
your
do
driveway,
cars have to do with it?
With it's the food stamps being gone and people not going to have no
or
people
cars,
don't eat,
cars,
okay?
Or they could
nobody's
eat cars.
Gonna, this is 2025. Nobody's just not going to eat. Nobody's food stamps, I'm telling you right now, even with the government shutdown and the food stamps and stuff being gone for next month,
and it's going to affect everybody, there's about to be a lot of stuff going on, okay? I'm not even going to talk about it too much because, hey, you know what's about to happen. Lock your cars. Lock them.
Yeah, because
you don't need food stamps. You need a diet and a dentist appointment.
Even if I lock my car, maybe she could eat it.
I thought that was relatively nice, though. The other ones were just like, I'm going to steal and assault you. That one was like, lock your car because I will be out of control tomorrow afternoon around 3. I'll be that hungry. I will probably try and break into your car. Just FYI, it's kind of like the Hulk saying, get away from me because I'm going to go turn into the Hulk, right?
Yeah.
Get or away. Lock your car now.
Me.
Yeah, the
don't
werewolf.
Get near me on the full moon.
But I like the rationale. I'm gonna be very hungry, so lock your car.
Exactly. Yeah, because I will eat anything.
Because I'm going to eat it.
You know, I've been hangry before, but never to the point of crime.
Some people leave their pets in a car when they go shopping. She's saying she might eat. They're eating the dogs. See, they're eating. I told you. Yeah. They're eating the pets.
Lock your pets.
Yeah, lock your pets.
Lock your pets. Right, here we have the same reaction she also said about car locking, which is interesting. I really like this link between hunger and cause. Right, and here we have this person. Let's see. She's stealing Thanksgiving dinner if her food stamps don't pay it. Here we have people saying the same thing, that they're going to basically steal things. Right, so I think basically it shows a lot, and it shows...
Hear him wheezing from just walking. Come on, you've got to play this. This is like a tease, Stelios.
Okay, let's play it.
Hey, yo, Trump.
Hey, yo.
You a New Yorker, man.
Hey, yo, Trump.
Don't do us New Yorkers like that, you heard? Nah, but serious? If you deny the whole America food stamps, bro, it's going to be a problem. Walmart, get ready. New York City, we got C-Town, Pioneer, Kifu. Get ready. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's going to get lit. BJ's, Costco's. Get ready. Fuck is wrong with you? You think we just going to stay still? Hell no.
You can see how he loves watching it.
For a fact.
He loves the idea. He fantasizes about it.
What you doing? You don't know.
He's doing Vox Pops.
For me, but we going to loot. We going to get fucking crazy. Right, TikTok? You feel me? She said she don't know. I don't know, but I'm going to get mom.
I love that guy. He's got so many of those kind of meaningless phrases. Like, no, but for real, like, no, you serious? No, you feel me? So he barely says anything in a minute because he's got so many, like, filler phrases. There's almost no content. It's genius, really.
Yeah, they always say, yeah, you know what I'm saying, know what I mean? And it's like, no, I don't know what you're
saying.
Start
to say it.
And I don't know what you mean.
You feel
no.
me for real? No, but serious.
I like I like the idea as well that Walmart is going to have to prepare for this man trying to commit, what, like a high-speed robbery?
I wouldn't want it. If I was on the Walmart
checkout, he's going to roll all the way to the doors.
Yeah, I wouldn't want any of these people coming at me if I was like the poor... Think about the poor cashier just trying to, you know, get anyone to pay.
I'm trying to imagine you in like a counter-robbery situation. I can just imagine you kind of just sighing, accepting
it's all so tight.
Did you go seek sometimes? You know the video where he gets a stick and he hits someone with extreme prejudice?
Yeah, actually, I want to see them do it to small Korean shop owners.
Okay.
I don't mean their height small. I mean, they have a small shop. Because at Walmart, no staff really cares, right? It's too big.
Yeah. But it's a corporation.
Do this to the individual Korean
who owns his shop.
That's all I want to see.
Yeah, right. I don't know if I can say that the looting had ever stopped, but we definitely see it, or it started right now.
Ooh,
but we
this lady
see it
here's
already.
With her kids. Oh, it's so obvious.
Just walking straight out, getting the kids involved, nice and young.
Hey, you can't stay here. You better go on.
Feed them for days.
Yeah, it's a Burlington.
She goes back.
They going to see your face and you going to jail.
Now, give me this, ma'am. Let it go. Let it go. You better get out of here.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am.
Yeah, good on her for trying to step in.
You better get off my basket.
You going to jail.
You better get off my
basket. AI makes of this. Who's the valuable person in this exchange?
Yeah.
Obvious.
Right. Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, that's not a grocery store. That's a luxury goods, Burlington Coat Factory. It's a clothing store. So desperately, you know, need clothing to feed your kids.
They're doing the stereotype of like, these sneakers are necessary for my well-being in life.
But maybe if they can resell them and get money for...
And for contrast, I didn't include it before, but apparently in Japan, like
black
in
market.
The Apple store, things aren't even locked down.
Yeah.
Like you can just pick up an
high
iPhone.
High trust society.
Oh, I'm in a high trust society. I'll put it back.
Right. So what I wanted to say with this is ultimately, I think that this is the complete breakdown of trust. It shows how the underlying principle of extreme welfarism isn't benevolence, but it's basically conceding to blackmail. That's what extreme welfarism is creating. It's creating a culture of dependency on the one hand, which breeds ingratitude, and this ingratitude comes afterwards and says, well, where's my share? I don't have to work. I have to depend on you. You have to produce what I'm going to consume. And if you don't give it to me, I'm going to take it by force. This is blackmail. This has nothing to do with integration. It has nothing to do with all the abstract ideals that leftist narratives are showing us about welfarism, where they're talking about respect, about, you know, benevolence. It's just conceding to blackmail. And there, and many of these people who are doing this video, they're very proud of it. They're fantasizing about the looting, and it's the looting of other people. It has nothing to do with Trump. You can understand people who are hurt by policies lashing out at politicians, but then when they're saying, therefore I'm allowed, because a politician rubbed me the wrong way, I'm allowed to go and steal any other person I see on my road. It's just blackmail, and you can't have a good society this way.
Can't confirm.
Yeah, we've got quite a few super chats on YouTube.
Fanboy Fantasia. Where are they? Right. Fanboy Fantasia for £5. The reason bystanders have been blocking shoplifters is because they're losing so much merchandise that stores are shutting down.
Yeah.
Yep. No surprise. And if they're doing that at local food stores as well,
yes.
When those food stores shut down and you suddenly get like a food desert, I'm sure that they always say that's Whitey's fault.
Do you remember?
Excuse me. Don't play the videos yet. We have to read the comments.
Yeah. That's Whitey's fault too, and the government's fault as well. It's never their fault.
Right. DRT is king. Aiden Paladin is one of the best guests y'all get. The food stamps ending giving me conquistadors against the Aztec. The food stamps will stop.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Iron Bean. I wish I could screech online about not being given free stuff, but I'd feel way too pathetic if I did. Especially if I was a fat slob too.
Shame.
Right? And
There's more if you
There's more. Up. J.M. Denton. Trump should be Machiavellian here. Turn those angry about food stamps on Dems for the government shutdown after they're irreconcilable. Cancel food stamp abuse anyway. Tiffinol says, the young lady seems intelligent. I like how her dyed long hair and beads look from the side. But am I allowed to say this?
We'll just skip past
maybe
that.
Not,
I don't think we need to read over people's physical descriptions.
Yeah, cranky Texan. The Democrats want EBT to stop. They want food riots. They want another BLM-style color revolution funded and organized by the same people.
Maybe. Right. If you scroll up on the YouTube super chats as well, the mouse is up on the screen there, so there you go.
Yeah, wait.
Getting there, boomerang.
I don't have control of it. Right. Based Ape says, here comes the great hangar riots of 2025. Big fatty hordes raging over only being given four PPLS worth
people's.
Of free, people's worth of free cheeseburgers. Chains are going to wobble.
True.
Ochigdor, term from one of my favorite series, Dole Royalty.
Mm.
Right, and could we scroll up a bit, please?
Scroll up yourself.
I don't like I want other people to scroll up, you know.
Becoming right. more elitist by the
right.
second.
First appreciation, second anticipation, third expectation, fourth entitlement, and finally dependency. For $20, thank you very much. Long live Liberty says, a very beautiful person on Lotus Eaters. Yeah. And
I think we can skip those are the two. Thank
yeah,
you
yeah,
everybody
yeah,
for
thank
the donations.
You. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Jack, let's watch some video comments.
So do you remember John Blanc, the Black Tudor? Well, on the National Archives here, I found something quite interesting. It's a petition that he gave to King Henry VIII asking for more money. So he was a black guy who arrived in England via boat. He was given a high status position because of his skin colour. His job included playing music loudly in public. He married a white woman and then he asked for gifts.
I wrote to the king and asked for more money.
I'll never forget David Lammy, who was asked who came after Henry VIII and said Henry VII. Yeah.
Listen, man, math just works differently for some people.
Right, let's go to the next one.
I find one of the more frustrating aspects of the liberal mind is the utter unwillingness to engage deeply with issues, but instead look only to what can be used for purposes of change. Like Diane Abbott arguing for reparations, she's not interested in seeking reparations, but making the case so others will do it for her. She refuses to understand the history of slavery. In the words of Alexander Pope, a little learning is a dangerous thing. Drink deep or taste not the Pierian spring. Their shallow draughts intoxicate the brain, but drinking largely sobers us again.
I don't know if I'd describe Diane Abbott as a liberal. She's not a liberal for in any English sense.
No, it's the American sense.
Yeah.
Let's go to the next one.
Harry, responding to what you said about the police at the Irish riots, you're making an assumption there. You're assuming that these police officers actually have a cogent thought in their head. You're actually assuming that these guys know where they are and what they're doing. Most of them, I'm willing to bet, don't know, don't care. They just want to pick up a paycheck. And the ones that do know why they're there, they're just communists.
Maybe. I try to be fair to people and assume that if you've chosen the job of police officer, you do have some community concern and care to keep people around you safe. But it's the kind of thing I know a few at least, police officers, now ex-police officers, who left because they did not agree morally with what they were being asked to do and what they were being expected, how they were being expected to treat people, especially on the grand public stage when the sorts of crimes that they were called out to cover often showed that it was very particular types of people committing very particular types of crime. So it's a shame. It's a shame.
Right. Let's go to the next one.
A video comment from Tuesday's podcast reminded me of a PS2 game that I played called Gregory Horror Show and the animated series of the same name that it was based on. From memory, the protagonist ends up trapped in a hotel that they then have to escape from. Ultimately, the protagonist ends up returning to the hotel because they find the reality they've gone back to so depressing.
Sam, you just unlocked a whole memory that I'd forgot. I'd completely forgotten about Gregory Horror Show, but that just came flooding back to me. Thank you.
Right, let's go to the next one from the High Schlubs.
Have you ever gooned with your life on the line?
This is my kingdom come.
What was that?
What was that?
Great question.
What was... I think we've got website comments that we
have
go through. May I have them? You've both stolen the mice. Give me a mouse.
No, I don't want you to have a mouse.
Aiden, please, friend.
Here you go.
Come just on, a ready. Single mouse. Oh, now I'm being overwhelmed
right,
with
okay.
mice.
Nick, do you want to
Candy, yeah.
read to some of
yeah,
your
I'll
comments?
Yeah, I'll just do a few. So Furious Dan, as someone fluent in Japanese with hopes of moving there someday, I don't want Japan to lose its native character. I would honestly be delighted if tourism became restricted to those who could pass a language test to filter annoying tourists who do not respect the culture.
Logan Pauls, yeah.
Nice. That's what a lot of what it seems like they're actually... angry about right now is getting rid of a lot of those tourists.
Tourists, yeah, kicking the deer. They're kicking the deer. So Japan, Chad.
We should get you and Jack Chad Hadfield Koala. On. You can trade Trump impressions.
My best one is Jordan Peterson. Japan won't fix the bloody Japan won't. Chad Koala. Japan won't fix the core of its demographic problem at the government level. They can deport all they like, but the core problem is a low native birth rate, which I did mention. Ultimately, this is something the Japanese people have to address themselves, apart from government. Yeah,
we'll I'd happily accept a lower population instead of being replaced.
Yeah,
I mean, one's clearly better than the other.
If I was over there and someone accused me of stealing their women, I would let them know with pride, yes, just the one. But can you blame me? That's one approach. Wouldn't go down
That's also called Dan.
Yeah,
what is it with Dans?
I don't know if we've got time for all of them.
I'll read through a couple of mine.
Okay.
Sophie Liv, there has already been scandals with AI being implemented in health and healthcare and health insurance. Basically, the AI was instructed to always try to save as much money as possible, which is also what humans in these fields are instructed to do. Again, technocracy AI only has one logic. However, the AI really has no conscience, so it just auto-denied any claim or need for surgery. Fantastic. Looking forward to more of that, except on a racial basis. Furious Dan, how are those life values measured? I'm interested in how the study came to the conclusion it draws, even if it makes sense on its face. I would have needed to have gone more deeply into the methodology, and I didn't think it was entirely necessary because the results checked out. Omar Awad, remember when a combination of algorithmically generated videos and the YouTube algorithm created Hulk, Hitler, and pregnant Elsa dancing videos? Training AI on one of the most heavily botted sites on the internet may have unpredictable results. If you add on top that some of the groups pretending to be white or fudging arrest documents to inflate white crime statistics, we may end up in an AI leopards ate my face situation. That's always fun when you see FBI documents where somebody had been arrested who is clearly Middle Eastern or mixed pale black just being called white so that they can get the numbers up, and also Hispanics generally being classified as white as well. Do you want to read through some of yours, Stelios?
Right. Lord Inquisitor Hector Rex. So, fun fact, if the US government shutdown goes for more than 60 days, then Trump no longer needs to just furlough federal employees. He can outright fire them permanently, and it becomes within his power to do so. Oh, that's great. Arizona Desert Rat worked at a high school. What happened?
Somebody has done a poll in chat saying, should that video comment be our new podcast intro? Overwhelming majority says yes.
83%. Worked at a high school, ages 14 to 18 for several years. I heard more than one student say, I'm not getting my high school diploma because my mom said I get more money from the government if I don't have a degree. Yeah, that's how some kids are being raised. Sadly, that's
look
true.
At one of those videos that we were playing with the woman stealing from that outlet shop where she had her kids helping her. Great example to set, right?
Someone online says Snap really shouldn't let them buy junk food. It should let people buy healthy foods only. Kurt says, so these people are afraid of not getting free food but don't realize that mass looting will lead to even more grocery stores being closed down.
Again, it'll be your fault.
Yeah.
That's long-term thinking. Fuzzy Toaster, I wonder if armed security guard at grocery stores will still be a viable occupation for the foreseeable future. And Furious Dan says, lock your doors, lock your cars, hide your wife, hide your kids, hide your husband, because they eaten everybody out here. Right, and on that note, we have come to the end. But before we end, we have to ask Aiden here, where can people find you? And we have, Jack, we have the Aiden's challenge.
Oh, yeah.
We have Aiden's channel. We'll bring it up so people, yes. So,
yeah.
Tell us a bit more.
Yeah, Aiden Paladin, AydinPaladin. On YouTube, I do long-form videos about different topics of science, particularly social science and politics. I recently finished up a massive video on human sex ratio and how it's actually a temperature or sort of thermometer for the health of human civilization, and the findings are extremely disconcerting, and now I've moved on to a much more fun topic of mass-scale terrorism data analysis. You know, very fun stuff, yeah.
Great. Right, and we have Lad's Hour at 3 p.m.,
so yes, that's right.
Be here for this. Have a great weekend.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
COTA salutes those who served. Veterans ride free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of COTA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use COTA Plus. Veterans ride free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on COTA. Plan your ride and learn more at coda.com/trip planner.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.